Welcome to the Crazy Ike Fan Podcast. I'm your host, Teddy. No matter where you are, thanks for making this part of your day. Thanks for taking a listen. Follow me across social media at Crazy Ike Fan on Instagram and on X. Crazy Ike Fan Facebook page. What's up, Ike fans and Greek football fans from around the world? Back at it here this week. I can't wait to discuss this massive derby that was over the weekend. Tumba 1-1, Bauk versus Ike, final score. Let's talk about some Ike news first. Vida picked up a yellow card, and he will miss the next match. He has been he submitted to miss the next match against Gifisha over this weekend because he has too many yellows. On the brighter side for Ike, Szymanski seems to be getting more fit. He's ahead of schedule, so he's been doing some light training. He's supposed to be back at full training, hopefully by the end of this week, and should be match fit by next weekend, which is great news for Ike. We've missed Szymanski. So let's get on with talking about this big derby that was, big weekend that was for Ike, as they travel to Thessaloniki to take on Bauk. Full disclosure here, guys, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold, so if my coughing spells are a little bad today, I apologize ahead of time. Got some Naraki here to hopefully help me out. Anyways, but let's get to a first half. What did I see in the first half? Overall, I think it was a very physical match. I think both teams in the first half were trying to kind of impose their wills and impose their style of plays. As I had made the point last week on the podcast that Pauk tend to give up possession a lot, and they try to counter and try to take advantage of stealing the ball or gaining quick possession and be able to find the holes in your defense, per se. I felt like the first maybe 20 minutes or so, Ike really struggled at the midfield, especially Jonsson. He didn't look too good, made a few bad mistakes, a few bad giveaways. Didn't really cost Ike much. I think both teams had some good chances in the first half. But really, I mean, compared to what I was talking about last week, how I expected both teams to come out firing, and I really expected this to be up and down derby with a lot of opportunities, a lot of goals, blah, blah, blah. It was a very lackluster 0-0 affair at halftime. Very surprising for me that it was 0-0. Ike had a couple of chances, but not really anything too special. Gacinovic had a shot that went wide from inside the box. I think Collins and Vida both got on the end of a couple of headers off corner kicks, but nothing too special. I think Bauk had a couple of good transition counter plays where they had a couple of good like half opportunities. Nothing really, nothing really that stuck out in my mind. Could be wrong. My memory might not serve me correctly. I tried to write down or take note of everything. But really, I mean, first half was just not terrible for a derby, but not how I expected things to go. Ike, in my opinion, played better in the first half. Towards the second part of the first half, as they were able to gain more possession. Obviously, like I said before, Pauk gives up a lot of possession. Pauk still trying to build up from the back. It was Ike's pressure was giving Pauk a little bit of fits, and vice versa too. Pauk were pressing up high when Ike would get possession so Ike wouldn't keep possession. Anyway, second half starts. Ike had a great counter. Levy Garcia gets free, and he's inside the box and passes the ball to a wide-open Eliasson on the other side. Bam, 1-0 Ike. It's crazy to think about how football and how VAR has really changed our lives. I waited until the very last moment. I waited until probably the replay. As soon as I saw the replay that the left back for Bauk was not able to pull Levy Garcia offsides fast enough. He was on the far end of the pitch. That's when I knew the goal was perfect and should have counted. Now, in Greek football, we never know what could possibly go wrong in Greek football. But a very good possession, very good fast attack by Ike, able to take advantage of, you know, getting behind the defense of Pauk. And I think we saw that a little bit, but we didn't see it too much as I expected. I really expected Ike to really attack that a little more, to really try to get behind Pauk's defense a lot better than what they did in the entire match, especially from this moment on, from about the, you know, the next few minutes. Ike looked okay, and then I don't know what it is about this team, but hitting that mark, you know, I would say from the 60th minute maybe to like the 80th, for those 20 minutes, I wouldn't say it wasn't like Ike didn't exist on the pitch, but it's like they kind of hit a little valley at that point, a little, you know, a kind of downturn, a kind of dead zone, whatever word you want to use there. It's kind of frustrating to watch, because you could have seen Ike take advantage. You didn't really see Ike take advantage of the fact that after we scored, Pauk moved their lines up and pressed more to take advantage, to get behind the defense with Levy Garcia, or to be able to counter fairly quickly. You know, for all this talk last week that I talked about Levy Garcia being in such good form, Ponce being in such good form, Ike didn't really create much, especially in the second half. Besides the goal, there was not another big opportunity that I can remember. They weren't quite sitting back, but I don't know what it was that this team... Now, Pauk is also playing, and Pauk, maybe they were trying to hold their line, maybe Ike was trying to hold their lines a little tighter at the back. I don't know. That doesn't seem like Almeida to me. And Almeida discussed this after the match. Also, that's not the way Almeida plays. Almeida plays, you know, pardon the expression, but balls out. He's always going to look to score. He's always going to look to put the game away. But Ike did not do that on the pitch. Now, that's not totally up to the manager. You know, Almeida did make some changes. None of the changes really bore fruit, or were, not that they were bad changes. It just seemed like Ike was out of sync there for about 20 minutes. You know, another thing that I was thinking about while I was watching the second half, Ike were giving away way too many free kicks, way too many set pieces to Pauk, and I knew it. I knew it as soon as I saw more and more free kicks being given away. I'm like, to myself in Greek, I said, «Έτσι θα την πατήσουμε». This is how Ike are going to give away this game, is through the set pieces. And lo and behold, what happens in the 90th minute off a set piece. Listen, you could blame it on a lot of stuff. You could blame it on, you know, I've heard Zini didn't track back fast enough so they could set up an offside trap. You know, I've heard it blamed on the referee, because before that foul was committed by Collins, where he also got a yellow card, Brandon Thomas controls the ball with his hand. Now, yeah, that is true. But still, as a team that you know, one of your main weaknesses is you're very bad at set piece defense. I mean, let me go down this little rabbit hole right here before I continue on. Your worst matches this season, not your worst matches, but your worst moments where you've given up points, especially in derbies, is offset pieces. Let's remember the goal against Panathinaikos, set piece. Let's, you know, the goal that Adi scored under the keeper, set piece, not good defense, not even good zone defense, where you left Rota with the Adi's attacker. His name escapes me right now. You know that you have this weakness, and yet you give up. Now, I know inside the match, inside the pitch, with the intensity of a derby, you're going to commit fouls. Sometimes you have to foul. I think in this, because Brandon Thomas could have gotten free and could have created havoc at the back, Collins had to foul, and I get that, but... You know, Almeida touched on this after the match. He was obviously asked about it. He said, what are you doing for set pieces? And he says they practice on them at least almost an hour a day each practice, not every day, but almost an hour in practice where they practice set pieces, set piece defense. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is here. It was just, let me continue on here and I'll get back to the goal that tied things up. But I could just given up a lot of possession, obviously too many free kicks, as I said. Not very many chances. This team did not create. Our expected goals was the third lowest percent it's been all season. It was at 0.57, which normally I can, now, derbies do change this. Derbies, you know, you're not going to get as many opportunities as you are versus, I don't know, Panzaraikos or Kifisa or some other quote-unquote smaller team. You're not going to be able to create as much. So, of course, you're going to have lower expected goals, lower chances to score. But this was, even for Ike, it was a 0.57 expected goals, where Ike normally average 1.5 to like 2-something a match because they create so many chances. Not very many chances created. Only 4 shots on target total in this match. And no shots by your center forwards. For all this talk, like I was saying earlier, about Levy Garcia and Ponce. Ponce, who came into the match, I think Levy was subbed off around probably the 70th minute. Your center forwards that are on fire did not have a shot on target. You did not put them in a position where they were able to score. Now, man of the match for me in the midfield was Pineda. Pineda, period. I mean, Pineda is just... We're very lucky and very blessed to have him on this team. Now, a lot of people gave Almeida a little bit of criticism because he took Rota out. Rota was playing with a yellow card. He put Pineda back there, and then people said, you know, that's when kind of our midfield really kind of started to go downhill towards the end of this match after that had happened. But I thought that was a good change, especially with Pauk bringing Costandelias off the bench. We know the struggles that poor Rota has had going against Costandelias. But, you know, this was a match where defensively, besides the free kicks, I felt like Ike played very well. We, you didn't hear Tyson's name very much. You heard, oh my gosh, why is his name escaping me right now? Dispotov. He had that one shot where I thought, oh, tora to fakame. That's what I was thinking. It was a brilliant shot right inside the box by Despotov that hits the crossbar. It either hit the crossbar or the post, I don't remember. But all I remember was Stankovic didn't even react. He was a statue. And Costandelias really did not, there wasn't a memorable moment by Bauk to really have an opportunity to, you know, by one of their key players that Ike were able to shut down, which was impressive. Now, again, free kicks were a different story, but you didn't really hear Tyson's name. Like I said, Despotov had that one shot where he should have, you know, came inches away from putting the ball in the back of the net. But other than that, you really didn't hear a lot from Bauk's offense. And, excuse me. So Ike did a good job. From that perspective, I just think in these big moments, in these big games, the Achilles heel this season for this defense, I don't think is even that bad. I don't even think our defense is that bad from open play. The problem with this defense is on set pieces, and I don't know why, especially when you have tall players like Mukudi, Vida, Mitoglu. I mean, Collins is a little bit shorter, but he's not that short. Good quality defenders. Let's try to look at some of the bright spots. It's kind of hard with this match, you know, to look at the bright spots because you had victory in your hands. To me, at the end of this match, kind of felt more like a defeat. But I'll get back to that in a little bit. Pillos, another great game by him. I think he's really etching his name in to be the future left back for Ike. Absolutely brilliant in this match. Pineda, as I said, brilliant, played fantastic. You know, another thing that was missing, there were a few key components to Ike's game that were missing that you really could have used Mukudi. I don't know if it was due to injury or just not being fit coming back from AFCON. He didn't start in this match. He wasn't even on the squad list. But Ike really missed his play because he's able to play. He's one of those few center backs that can play the ball from the back. And Ike really missed that because he can really create. I mean, I think him and Mitoglou, where Vida can kind of be that calming force at the back where you could tell he's just a veteran presence, and just by some of the movements that he makes and some of the defending that he does, you could tell he's just, you know, he's got that quiet confidence where I've been here, I've done this, like, let me do my job. Mukudi and Mitoglou can kind of are a little bit better at playing the ball forward from the back. Eliasson did not have, besides the goal, did not have quite the match that we were hoping. Amrabat, of course, was missed in this match. As I had said in the preview podcast last week, he was going to be missed with his capability of being able to hold the ball, of that, you know, having that intense physicality that he carries. Something that was missed from Ike. But it was just kind of heartbreaking to see at the end of the match to give this game up at the 90th minute. It felt more like a loss. It felt more like a loss. From what I heard some Ike reporters talk about this week that were there in Dumba, for PAOK, it felt like a relief. Like a point felt like a relief. It was almost celebrated. And I'm not saying this to demean PAOK, because I talked about this in the previous podcast, that it was, if Ike were able to get the 3 points here, not only would you go top of the table, but you would do some mental damage to PAOK, saying, we can't beat this team. But for Ike, I mean, to be able to take a high-flying, the best offense right now, and the best attack right now in the Greek Super League, and to be able to hold them to one goal and not even, and, you know, to get scored on off a set piece and not even have them be dangerous on open play and have this game in hand up until the last minutes, last few minutes of the match, says something about your team. And then it sends a message to PAOK, like, you're going to have to do something special to beat us in the future. You know, Almeida talked about that, how both of these teams seemed very even, very evenly matched. There's not that much difference between both of them. Both of them are playing the best football right now in Greece, which I agree, with Panathinaikos being kind of even though mathematically it's not, that's not how it's going right now. PAOK is 2 points ahead of Ike, and Panathinaikos are 1 point, so Ike sit in third place. But, you know, Almeida had said for us, we wanted to win, and we didn't change our style of play. You know, some people criticized Almeida and said, why didn't you, towards the end of the match, instead of taking Nota out, put in another center back, put in Mitoglou to play with three at the back to kind of hold the result? I could kind of agree with that criticism, but at the end of the day, it's not what Almeida does, and Almeida has rarely ever done that. Almeida is going to try to put the match away, and unfortunately, the players that came in, Araujo didn't look too good. Of course, Araujo is still dealing with a knee injury. Araujo, he refused to have surgery on his knee because it would be season-ending, and some people have criticized, you know, his play lately, along with Zuber and Gacinovic. Gacinovic, I think, doesn't deserve some of the criticism that he's getting, because I feel like he's played well. Now, Zuber seems a little out of form the past few matches, like the past month. But, you know, that's not, getting back to my point about Almeida, that's not who Almeida is. Almeida's not a manager that's going to sit back and try to hold the result. He's going to go for your throat and win the match. But we didn't see this team do it. You know, Zini obviously came under a lot of heat. He didn't look very... The substitutes for Ike were not wrong in coming in. They just did not help out as much as you would hoped. Mandalos helped out a little bit because he was able to kind of level things at the midfield and able to hold the ball a little bit at some points and try to... Even Ljubicic, I've heard people talk junk about Ljubicic And, you know, the guy's had, what, 10 practices with the team. So you got to give him time to get more acclimated into the team. And I think the problem is, because I said this last week, if I get a point here, that's not bad. A tie in Tumba is not the end of the world. Obviously, we would have taken a win more. I think the way the point came, like if the opposite had happened, if Bauk had gone up 1-0 and then Ike were able to tie to get the point, or if it had not happened in the moment that it did, because you're thinking, okay, we've got this. We're 1-0 up. We're getting ready to hit the 90th minute. They had already shown there's going to be 5 minutes of extra time left. We got this. We hang on here for 5 minutes and we're out of here with a Diplo and Tumba. Massive, massive victory. You know, I was hyped. So it did feel kind of like a loss. It did feel kind of, I felt kind of, as a fan, I felt kind of gutted at the end of this match, the way that it came when Genzora tied. You know, and I 100% Ike fans that feel that way. But at the end of the day, it's not a bad result. It keeps you within striking distance. We got 4 matches left before the playoffs start. Let's talk about that for a second. We got Kifisha coming up, which should theoretically be a win, but until the game happens, you know, football's football. We got Lamia after that. I forget who's in between Lamia and Aris. But I know we have a tough match against Ari, the last match day before the playoff starts. And that's really kind of hard because you're going to have to go into Harilau, into Thessaloniki, and pick. Now, Ari right now, the way they're looking, they're not looking like they're in such good form. But that could change. You know, this is a month away from this match that we're talking about here. And right after that, you have playoffs. So depending on how the draw for the playoffs comes out, you know, if you have Aris and then you got to go back to Thessaloniki and play Bauk the following weekend, that could get, you know, it's just, for me, even though Aris are not in good form, that should be a winnable game for Ike. It's still a tough game to have at the end of your schedule, especially when Panathinaikos is looking like they're having a easy schedule. Bauk still has to play Olympiakos with a lot of question marks. Olympiakos that looked better over this weekend, beating Ofi 4-0 for whatever that's worth. Ofi are in terrible shape. It was reported the other day that Traianos Delas, along with his coaching team, who Vasilis Bourboukis is going to be one of them, will be taking over the helm at down at the Cretan club of Ofi. You know, you don't know, but getting back to my point, you don't know what Olympiakos you're going to get. You know, we're going to see that a little bit more tomorrow when they play in Europe, when they play Ferencváros, and then for Bauk. So my point of this segment is that I think Bauk and Olympiakos, very tricky match for Bauk. And the fact is, the fact that we were able to pick up 1 point, yes, keeps Bauk in first place, but it doesn't give them any breathing room. We're still right there. So that's the good part about getting a result in Tumba. I know it feels more like a loss. I get it 100%. Getting scored on in the last minute really sucks. Especially in a derby like that where you were like, we have this in hand. And where Bauk really, besides having a little bit more possession in the second half, Bauk playing better in the second half, honestly. Besides the Despotov opportunity, really didn't create much. You really didn't see much out of Costanderas, like I said before. Anyway, but Bauk now have to play Panathinaikos today for the cup, and then they're playing Olympiakos this weekend. So two tough matches coming up for Bauk. So we don't know how that's going to turn out for them. Let's hope for our sake it goes Ike's way, or a tie or something could go our way. I just have to take care of business. You have 4 winnable games. You have to win these games out in order to really put yourself in prime position come playoff time. And playoffs are going to be very exciting because it looks like everything's staying tight. And honestly, I mean, if you can get... Olibeko still has a lot of quality. If they beat Bauk, I mean, not that they're back in it, but they're not completely out of it, you know? So that's a big match, too. That's one thing where the new manager for Olibeko can motivate them on is if they beat Bauk, they could still be into it. All you have to hope then is for, you know, the other teams to make mistakes, which we've seen all other teams make mistakes at some point. And then you have the playoffs coming up, which is going to be very interesting. So I know not a long podcast today, not really much more to say. Like I said, kind of gutted at the end of this match. But forward and onward, I'll say this again, not a bad result. Not a bad result. Almeida in his comments also made it sound like, hey, you know, nothing wrong here. We're disappointed we didn't get the 3 points. We always want to go out and win, blah, blah, blah. But it kind of sounded like a business trip. Where on the other side of things, on the Bauk side, it kind of sounded like a little bit of a celebration. I don't mean that to demean Bauk, but I mean like, you know, they were getting ready to head into a situation where if I were able to hold on for 5-6 more minutes, where they were like, we cannot beat this Almeida Ike. And they still didn't beat us. They still didn't beat Ike. And another thing to keep in mind is Ike still hold the chance of there being tied on points at the end of the season for the championship. Ike still hold firm both against Bauk and against Panathinaikos right now. So, you know, hey, not much lost, still in the middle of things. I wish they would have held on for 5 more minutes. That way we could be top of the league. And, you know, I think this is my opinion and this is my statement. If Ike can get the lead before the playoffs by some way and are able to create a little bit of distance in the playoffs, then it's our championship to lose. But, hey, everyone's probably thinking that the same thing. But anyway, guys, I hope everyone has a good week. Good luck to Ike this weekend. Playing at home against Gifisha, which we should theoretically take care of business. It'll be the first time in months with our fans. It's so nice to finally see fans back. I watched Panathinaikos Aris yesterday as I had some free time just because I wanted to see a stadium with fans again. And hopefully it continues. Hopefully we can get better at this whole fan thing in Greek football. Anyway, guys, everyone have a good week. Forza Aikara. Kata teksanapume.